The nation has been transfixed for a couple of weeks by the shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. The shooter was a member of that city's police force. It is very hard to say if that shooting was unique or unusual or part of a common pattern. That's because police keep statistics on such issues as officer-involved shootings in many different ways. Not even the U.S. Justice Department keeps a national database of police shootings. But proponents of better records and analysis say such a database could tell us many things. And Reno journalist D. Brian Burkhart has spent the last 2 years trying to develop a national database of officer-involved shootings. He joins us now by Skype from Reno. Brian Burkhart, welcome to KNPR.
Oh, thank you.
So how did you get started on this project of building a national database of police shootings?
So anyway, I was driving home from work, and I saw this flurry of activity, and it was more police cars than I'd ever seen outside a police parking lot. And I just knew from the stance of the way the people were standing, the way the cars were kind of haphazardly parked, that somebody had died there. And my instinct was that the police had killed somebody there. So I went home and I turned on the scanner on my phone, phone app. And I was just curious about that situation. And that kind of led me to, well, how often does this happen? And it was the how often does this happen that kind of blew me away, that I couldn't find it. I mean, it just, that information did not exist.
So at that point, it sounds like that prompted you to try to find an organized database of this information. So So what did you do to get started?
Well, the first thing I did was I thought about it, actually. So my original idea was I was going to create a database with all state and local law enforcement agencies in the United States so that I could encourage other people to do public record searches. So I did end up creating that database. It's got 17,985 state and local law enforcement agencies in it. So all you do is search by state and county, and you get a mailing list for everyone who is in that county you ask for, or you could do the whole state. But that's expensive.
Yeah,
so
I'll bet it is.
I wasn't getting anywhere really with that. So what I did personally was I FOIA'd or made public record requests of every state and local law enforcement agency in Nevada as kind of the start. And then as time was passing, I mean, months and months were passing, and police are notoriously slow to respond to these kind of things. I realized I was going to have to work on kind of two levels. So I started, I created a form by which people could in their local communities, upload links and information about individual cases. And that's kind of how it evolved.
Why do you think the various government agencies and police departments have been so reluctant to track this kind of data?
Because they don't want you to know. They don't want you second-guessing procedures. They don't want that kind of light on them. And I don't necessarily mean that in an entirely negative way. I mean, nobody wants people looking over their shoulder, in the calm of their living room, saying, well, this is what I would have done in that eighth of a second I had to make this decision.
Now, also joining us for this conversation is James Coldren. He is managing director of the CNA Institute for Public Research. CNA is a nonprofit research organization based in Arlington, Virginia. The organization wrote the final report on reforms in the Las Vegas Metro Police Department for the U.S. Department of Justice's COPS program. Chips Coldren, welcome to KNPR.
Good morning.
When you look at this issue, what could we learn from a national database on police shootings?
Well, I think, number one, it would depend a lot on how that national database is constructed, but let's just assume for the moment that it's constructed in a very thorough way that collects information not just on shootings, but on local population, demographics, local policies, local legislation, and things like that. If we had a very complete database, we would be able to make some valid comparisons across jurisdictions about at least the prevalence of shootings and probably something more about the situational context within which those shootings occur, the types of shootings that occur, and maybe some trend analysis over time. So there's a lot to learn. And I think the point that I really want to stress on this issue about a national database and collecting all this data is that much of it will point towards reforms and improvement in police operations. It's not just our understanding about the nature and the depth of the issues around police shootings, but it's providing a way and a mechanism to do some analysis that helps police adjust their procedures and their practices so that unjustified shootings are reduced.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. If we know what the situation is and what the best practice that results from similar situations is, policies can be modified to emulate that. We can get better practices out of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is in fact happening in several jurisdictions around the country right now. I heard you reference Las Vegas. There's an ongoing collaborative reform process in Spokane, Washington. There's another one in Philadelphia. So I think some of the major city police departments around the country are catching on to this and are actually moving more quickly towards transparency and public accountability than a lot of us are aware of. Mm.
Now, Chip Skuldron, your organization has reviewed police departments like the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. Earlier this year, you said it has been able to successfully implement reforms under the COPS program at the U.S. Department of Justice. What more would we know about officer-involved shootings in Las Vegas if we could compare them to a national database?
I just think we would have a better sense about where they sit or where any department sits according to, number one, what you might think of as a national norm. So it's really hard to pinpoint this, but it's probably, if you look at all shootings across demographics or per 100,000 population, it's a fairly low rate across departments across the country. But nobody knows how to compare, let's say, a department that has a troubling situation, how to compare themselves to a department that's got a reputation for good leadership and advanced practices on this matter. Mm-hmm. So, I think police and the public are looking for meaningful comparisons and reasonable standards to measure themselves by, and they simply don't exist.
Also joining us today is Professor William Souza, who teaches in the Criminal Justice Department at UNLV. Bill Souza, welcome back to KNPR.
Nice to be here.
Why do you think police departments are reluctant to keep statistics about officer-involved shootings?
Well, I think a few things that Chip said really strike at the heart of the matter. One of the difficulties here is that when it comes to officer-involved shootings, it's not a statistic that is easily quantified without explanation. So, for example, you could have a city that has 10 officer-involved shootings where all 10 are entirely justified and where everyone agrees that the officers acted absolutely appropriately, and then you have a different city that has 5 officer-involved shootings but some were under more questionable circumstances. The problem is that people will tend to look just at the number and assume that the city with more officer-involved shootings has the larger issue, when in fact it may well be the city with fewer police shootings that has the bigger problem. So it is somewhat remarkable at how little we know overall in terms of officer-involved shootings, but when it comes to looking just at the number, departments are very reluctant just by virtue of the fact that they know that the number will be compared to others, and while we should know certainly more about that number, we have to be very careful with how we interpret it, which points to the fact, points to the issue that Chip was bringing up, that if a database is to be created, we really need to know a lot more information about those individual shootings so that we can tease out the circumstances, et cetera, and that may make police departments more accepting because there's always the tendency when we quantify statistics to compare based strictly on the number.
And yet at the same time, beyond just the number, isn't it possible for the federal government, say, to set standards for recording this information?
Even the FBI on their UCR report will state that it is difficult to compare city to city because of the various factors that influence crime in different cities. So even when the FBI states specific definitions, they have to insert the caveat that we have to be very careful when we compare city to city.
Now, also joining us from the Palm Beach Post in Florida is former Las Vegas Review-Journal reporter Lawrence Maurer, who was one of the writers in the paper's 2011 series Deadly Force about the high rate of officer-involved shootings in Las Vegas. Lawrence Maurer, it's good to have you back. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
When you set out to investigate officer-involved shootings in southern Nevada, how did you assemble the data?
Well, we did two things. One is we acquired the investigative reports, the department's own reports on something like 400 shootings over 20 years there in southern Nevada from all the agencies down there, including the federal ones, FBI and et cetera. We created our own database. We took each report and read it and read, you know, newspaper clippings, lawsuits, all kinds of stuff, coroner's inquest transcripts, and assembled a database of, you know, dozens and dozens of factors. You know, who was shot, how old were they, you know, how many shots were fired, who were the cops doing the shooting. And we came out with a series of findings showing that there were a lot of problems at Metro. But one of the basic questions we had was, okay, are there a lot of shootings here? You know, what is a lot of shootings? So we pulled something like 25 agencies or 30 agencies around the country saying, give us your shooting numbers going back to 2000. Just 10 years of data. And we found that many could not actually produce that. I mean, a lot of police departments don't actually track their own shootings. This is, you know, forget the national part. Most locals don't. And we got responses from 21 or so agencies, and we found that, you know, in 1 year, Las Vegas Metro had shot and killed more people than NYPD had. And, you know, NYPD has eight times the number of officers and, you know, covers a much, much larger area. But Bill is right. I mean, these numbers are so small that that it is hard to do comparisons. I mean, 10 shootings 1 year and 15 shootings in the next year is like a 50% rise.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to make the comparisons, but at some point you really can, you know.
Well, it sounds like from what you're saying, though, that also at the very beginning, just getting records was difficult to do. I mean, it sounds like you had to do a lot of legwork in assembling some of this information.
Yeah, we did. I mean, the fact is that Metro themselves, I mean, of course, this has changed since, but at the time, Metro was not doing any analysis on their own shootings. They had some basic information about, you know, the fact that they knew that, you know, a disproportionate number of people who were being shot were black. But they had no other reasonable data or decent data beyond that. And so we had to, yeah, we spent a year investigating it. We spent $11,000 on records just with Metro alone to get these reports. And in the end, you know, we had to do all the legwork ourselves. Because Metro had not done it themselves. So.
You had reported that the Las Vegas Metro Police Department had a very high rate of shootings at the end of all of this, and the conclusion was convincing enough to bring in a federal Justice Department review of Metro's procedures. What more would we know if we had other cities to make an apples-to-apples comparison of police shootings?
Well, you know, the raw numbers would help. I mean, it'd give us some idea of how do we measure up to other cities. And from there you can say, okay, well, NYPD has much fewer shootings or, you know, has fewer shootings than Las Vegas Metro. What is NYPD doing different that other agencies aren't, you know? Same with, you know, just looking at giving a better picture of, you know, how many shootings there are. I mean, the efforts by to track shootings by looking at clips, newspaper clippings and stuff like that is good, but you're only going to capture the fatal shootings. Really, fatal shootings are only a third of all the police shootings. And really what you want to get are every time an officer pulls the trigger. You know, if the officer misses, that happens to be fortunate, but the decision was still made to fire. And that's what we found in Vegas is that, you know, if you just look at newspaper clippings and stuff, you're only going to capture a small portion of the actual numbers of shootings. And, you know, what we really need, though, are comprehensive databases of shootings broken down by, you know, who's shot, how many shots were fired, who's doing the shootings. And, you know, having that on a national level would be amazing, but really there's no political willpower to do that. We asked all of the Nevada elected officials after Deadly Force ran, saying, hey, is this something you guys would take up? And a few, I think Joe Heck, Mark Amaday, and a couple of others said, yes, this is something that is important that we should be looking at. We should be tracking this nationally. But, I mean, Harry Reid's been completely silent on the issue. You know, there's been no political willpower locally to, you know, ask him and say, hey, will you at least slip in a bill or something saying, you know, that the FBI needs to track police shootings? That's just not done.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of political willpower to do that.
There's already a law requiring the federal government to collect that information. It was made in 1994, and it's been basically ignored by the Department of Justice for 20 years.
We are talking about police shootings and the lack of information about them. Brian Burkhart of the Reno News and Review has argued that we need a national database of police shootings so we understand what's really happening. He has written a piece on Gawker criticizing the lack of that national database, and you can link to that Gawker piece at our website, knprnews.org. Also with us, Lawrence Maurer, former reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who co-wrote the series Deadly Force in 2011. Chips Coldren is managing director of CNA Institute for Public Research. And Bill Souza is with us as well from UNLV's Department of Criminal Justice. Brian Burkhart, in the piece you wrote for Gawker, you said that you cannot prove but firmly believe, and then you reiterated that just a few minutes ago, that the lack of a national database on police shootings is intentional. And you said that the police don't want us to know. Why do you think it is intentional?
I guess my answer is because they, just what you said, they don't want us to know. They don't want us to make comparisons. What the reason for that is, I think it's, as I said before, it's because it's really hard for us to kind of armchair quarterback this stuff after. We're sitting in our living rooms. They're up against, you know, a gun or something that might be a gun. It's really hard to have people outside judging you on that basis.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also say that police collude with reporters in keeping information from the public. Explain how that works.
Okay, well, there's it's more like reporters collude with police.
Mm-hmm.
When they make public records requests and the law enforcement agency or the legal representation law enforcement agency makes fake reasons for why this stuff can't be provided or shouldn't be provided or illegally redact stuff, they just go along. Or if the police agency wants to charge for documents, okay, well, the law is set up so that they can, but who can afford that? I mean, I've put maybe $1,000 into public records requests paying for these documents. The reason that they can successfully do it is because people who are working on the cop beat need information. And as soon as the reporter becomes one of those reporters who's maybe antagonistic or even skeptical, they shut down the information pipe.
Well, let me turn to you, Lawrence Maurer. You were originally a police reporter with the Review Journal. Did you ever feel you had to collude with police to do your job?
Well, he's absolutely right. Yes, that definitely happens. I was taken off the beat actually for a year just to focus on this. I was not doing any beat reporting at the time, but I mean, the newspaper's relations with Metro, I'm not sure how they are since I've left, but after Deadly Force came out, it was really strained. I mean, they leaked information to the TV stations and did all that, you know, to kind of get around us and kind of to attack us.
So would you say that you were frozen out?
In some ways, yeah. I mean, definitely. If you look at some of the coverage, they would favor going to the TV station for favorable stories.
Yeah. Can you give an example of that?
Oh, boy. It's been a few years.
Yeah, I know it's been a little while.
Yeah, but, it's been a while. I can't recall off the top of my head at the moment.
Yeah. We are talking about police shootings and the lack of a national database about them. Brian Burkhart has argued that that national database is needed. He is with the Reno News and Review and has also written a piece on Gawker criticizing the lack of a national database of police shootings. Again, you can link to that at knprnews.org. Chip Scaldron, you have and CNA have written reports for the federal government about local police departments, including Metro. Do you find that same attitude that Brian Burkhart was talking about a little bit earlier, where departments try to stymie your fact-finding?
We did not have that problem. The program that we work under with the COPS office is called Collaborative Reform, and so this program actually involves police agencies that proactively reach out to the Justice Department to investigate these issues before they reach the level of a civil rights investigation and official complaints. So they're actually proactive police departments that are much more willing to share information and open up their files to us than you might expect under other circumstances.
So when you're working with police departments, does it seem to you in your experience that they are willing and eager, if you will, to kind of go into these things, or would they just as soon kind of keep things in a box and under wraps if
possible?
Well,
we're working with a special sample of police agencies that have, you know, proactively reached out for this. So I find them to be very open at all levels, from the chief to the sergeants to the captains to even the officers on the street. They're very willing to have us come in and investigate and ask all kinds of questions and review all their files. That's not been a problem. I think that these issues, they kind of vary across local jurisdictions, and the press relations between a police department and a chief and the local press will vary greatly from place to place. I think their attempts to manage, you know, public relations vary from place to place. I think their intentionality in evading investigations ranges from place to place. But our experience at CNA, again, it's a special sample of agencies, has been much more positive.
Mm. Brian Burkhart, one sidebar of the events in recent weeks in Ferguson, Missouri, has been the conversation about local police departments becoming militarized, using military equipment, literally handed down from the Department of Defense. How important is that sense of the use of military equipment in looking at police deaths?
I can't answer that question. It's not one of the things I look at.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, Lawrence Maurer, when you were writing about police shootings in Las Vegas, what did you find accounted for the high rate of shooting here?
Well, there are a number of factors. You know, just on the militarization part, though, the vast majority of shootings are by, regular beat cops with handguns, and they've been wielding those for a long time. But we did find a number of shootings where officers were wielding rifles and that, you know, were bad shoots. With rifles, and you know, perhaps the officers should have been trained a little bit more, or you know, shouldn't have had the weapons in the first place. But what we found in Vegas, really, we found a number of trends that made up the high number of shootings. One of them was, foot chases. You know, officers would pull over a car, a bunch of people jump out, they start running away, and officers would jump out of their car and start chasing them. Have no idea who they're chasing or why they're chasing them. They're walking down dark alleys. This is a really risky thing, not just for suspects, but for the officers. You know, person could be hiding around a corner and shoot the officer, and that's actually happened in Vegas. And also, you know, what happens when you have a lot of young men? Their pants are sagging. So what are they doing? They're picking up their pants and you're reaching towards your waistband now. They could be going for a weapon. These are very risky things that other agencies have ironed out, and Metro was not paying attention to those trends, and they just see these shootings happen time and time again. We'd also notice situations where officers put themselves in danger. They'd go try to arrest a bad guy, you know, as they should, is their job. But they'd go up to somebody, the bad guy's in a car, and they'd reach in and try to, you know, turn off the car. Well, what's the bad guy going to do? He's going to drive off. And all of a sudden, the officer is now hanging out of the window of a car and, you know, really doesn't have a choice but to shoot, to stop the guy from driving away. Otherwise, he could fall out and easily, you know, be seriously injured or killed. And we just found that Metro was not at all paying attention to these cases, really to the trends. They weren't like, you know, if you're a big company and you have a major disaster like Exxon Valdez, what are you going to do? You're going to try to make sure that doesn't ever happen again, just from a public relations standpoint. But officer-involved shootings are disasters. That might be disasters politically, like you see in Ferguson, or for the person who's killed, or for officers. We found a lot of officers are traumatized by these things. But instead of treating these things like disasters, they would just try to say, well, you know, the officer was in the right, and we're going to clear him and get him back on the street. And we didn't do anything wrong. But in some cases, they don't do anything wrong, but you can still learn lessons from it. And they were choosing not to learn any lessons from it.
Bill Souza, apropos of the cases in Las Vegas with Metro, these shootings, how do these compare, the kinds of things that Lawrence Maurer has been talking about, to what has happened or what happens nationally with police shootings?
Well, again, I think this is part of the difficulty with some of the comparisons. And it's our nature to compare, but it's very difficult to compare city to city because it's difficult to quantify things that are unique to cities that may influence officer use of firearms. The culture of guns is very different in different places, the culture of risk-taking, the transiency of the population. And these are all things that get at the unpredictable nature of the criminal environment and get at, you know, the dangerous situations. But there are a few things that we do know about officer-involved shootings, and one of the things is that while there more recently there's been perhaps some more media attention to especially those that are a little more questionable, overall, officer-involved shootings, from what we know about them, they're actually down quite a lot from the 1970s and 1980s. And there are a few reasons for that, but the primary reason would be departmental policies that restrict the use of firearms. And 30 years ago or so, policies on when officers could draw their weapons were much less restrictive. And when policies are implemented that restrict officer use of firearms, not only have fewer people been shot by officers, but fewer officers themselves have been shot by subjects.
So, Bill Souza, how important is race in police shootings? How typical is it? How typical is it for white police, for instance, to shoot and kill African American or Hispanic suspects?
Well, that's a very complicated question.
Sure.
There's often a discrepancy where you have minorities obviously making up a smaller percentage of the population, but then disproportionately the subjects of an officer involved shooting. The discrepancy is often consistent. If you looked at the Las Vegas numbers, it was consistent with national trends when it came to that. But overall, when studies have been conducted of these things, when factors such as being armed with a weapon, being involved with a violent crime, attacking an officer, when these factors are considered, the racial differences are often lessened. So it's a very complicated question because while there is a discrepancy in terms of the number of people involved in officer-involved shootings relative to their population, the question is there's a lot of debate in terms of why.
Some of the most notorious police shootings in Las Vegas in recent years have come from botched raids related to drug crimes. Maybe one of the better illustrations of that is the case of Trevon Cole, where a SWAT-style raid ended up with Cole, who was unarmed, being shot in his own bathroom. Chips Cauldron, how much is the war on drugs to blame for police shootings, either in Las Vegas, Southern Nevada, or nationally?
I think it's probably a factor just because of the heightened concern about drug trade and gang involvement in drug trade and, you know, turf wars and things like that. So in some instances, when police get involved in calls regarding drugs, they're probably the threat is heightened. The concern for safety is heightened. It's quite possible that the places that these things occur are rather public. And so police concern about, you know, injuries to other people, not just themselves, is heightened. So it's a factor, you know, but as we're talking about on this program, there are many factors to consider. That's one of them for sure.
And that's one of them. Lawrence Maurer, Palm Beach, I would imagine, doesn't have quite so many things like this, but Southern Florida certainly does. How much is the war on drugs to blame for police shootings in your view?
Well, you know, in some ways, it's really hard to tell. Again, in our analysis in Vegas, that's really all I can draw on because there's just not that much data out there about this stuff. It was a factor, obviously. The Trevon Cole was a terrible shooting. Still, the majority of police shootings are by regular beat cops, trying to do the right thing. Just guys who are out on the street. I mean, the Ferguson thing is an example. That guy, that wasn't an officer with a special assignment or anything. It was just day-to-day interactions with people. And most of the shootings are still those things. And, those things can be addressed by policies. I mean, the war on drug stuff, that's just another factor, but it's still relatively minor compared to the overall picture, I think. Mm-hmm.
Brian Burkhart, in our final half minute or so, where do things stand now with your efforts to assemble national data?
Well, I've got about 1,200 into the actual database. I've got about 600 that have been uploaded by crowdsourcing. I've got about 2,000 that are on the web in a spreadsheet but haven't been incorporated into the database. And I've got maybe another 2,000 kind of sitting in the cloud that haven't been put on the spreadsheet yet. So my feeling is I'm going to have pretty good numbers by the end of the year. There is a site on Facebook called Killed by Police that has a fairly comprehensive list link, day by day, mm-hmm. who's been killed. So you can get a fairly good, and this is just killings.
It's not other shootings as well where people are injured but not killed. We're out of time. Brian Burkhart, editor of Reno News and Review, thanks very much for being with us. Also with us, Chip Cauldron, Managing Director of CNA Institute for Public Research, Bill Souza, Professor at UNLV's Criminal Justice Department, and Lawrence Maurer, Investigative Reporter for the Palm Beach Post and longtime reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Thank you again, all of you, for joining us today.
Thank you.